Right. So, aging. Aging is not inevitable. There's also the option of leaving young. But those are basically the two choices. If you're a living being, you either age or you head out young. Neither is ideal, but that's the setup here. And in general, we humans, not just now and not just in mainstream Western culture, we humans have found aging to be startling and distressing. We don't like it. It catches us off guard often. How our bodies are affected, the losses involved, and not just ourselves, but everyone around us, our communities, our loved ones, our pets. Aging is not generally welcome or desired, challenging for most people. I heard a story recently from a friend. Her mom was in a care facility in her older years. She was in her 90s. And all her life, this woman had tried to keep herself impeccably presented, like really nice clothing, makeup, hair, the whole thing. And she was still doing that. And her grown middle-aged daughter was there with her. And she was standing in front of the mirror, putting thick lipstick on before going to the dining hall. And she said to her daughter, "My one problem with this place is that the people here are so old." And then she looked at the mirror and she said, "Oh my God, I'm talking about myself." And this is the issue. One of the issues about aging is that our self-identity doesn't travel the same pace as our bodies. And I want to share a poem that speaks to this. This was written in March of 2020 by another woman in her 90s who said she feels like she's 25 inside, which is, quite common. Her name is Stephanie Lawrence. She titled this poem, "The Sands of Time." So she said, "I look in the mirror and see a stranger looking back at me. Who's that person standing there with wrinkled skin and such gray hair? Could it be me? Yesterday, my hair was brown, my skin was smooth, dark all around. My shoulders straight, my posture proud, my voice had strength to call out loud my name. I could dance all through the night until I saw the morning light, and then I'd nap a short time and take my morning walk again, head for work, eyes all aglow. Nothing about me then was slow. Was that yesterday? Today, I wake up when I can. I try to stretch and cramps set in. I stand up tall, at least I try, but my arthritis makes me sigh. My butt, it sags. My waist is gone. I shuffle now across the lawn. My walker keeps me on my feet, but sometimes my butt hits the street anyway. Today is here. I thank the Lord. I have no tumors, I'm just bored. The sword of life cuts quickly through the hours and days for me and you. I had dreams yesterday when life was grand and I could say someday when I'm old, but that was yesterday. And then I find today is here and I'm looking in the mirror. I see me and suddenly I'm my mother, don't you see? The hourglass of life begins at birth, and one day it will end. and through the sands of time are born new generations that will form. And one day, looking in that mirror, a youth will see a stranger there and wonder where she's seen somewhere, that person with wrinkles and such gray hair. So right here at the beginning, I want to take a moment with you and just, and no response needed allowed, but just for us all to take a moment and think, what is your relationship to the notion of aging, your own aging and the aging of your loved ones and beings around you? Is it this standard feeling about like it's startling, distressing? Or maybe there's some minimizing or denial that you may feel, like very, very common to feel like my friend's mom at the care home, like aging happens around me, but it's not going to happen to me, or it's not going to continue to happen to me. Or you may have a mixed relationship with aging, like grateful for the wisdom and the sense of experience that comes. Just taking a moment to reflect, how do you feel about aging right now? Yeah. And if you'd like to type something into the chat about it, no pressure, but if you'd like to, go ahead. Yeah, so there can be all different kinds of relationships to aging, but the most common one, and again, not just for us, is discomfort. Yes. Yeah, so some responses. I see that the way the chat set up, you're only can send direct message. Sorry about that. So terrified was one response. Yeah. It's hard to separate out the ageism from the experience of aging itself. In other words, ageism, especially for women, makes it much worse. Yes, being aware of cultural ageism. Betty Davis reportedly said, getting old is not for sissies. So far, I'm a sissy. Thank you. Apprehensive, wanting to stay healthy. Sadness, and it's humbling. Yeah, thank you. So I just really want you to know, oops, somebody is sharing their screen. So I'm gonna change this. I'm sure that was an accident, but I just changed the setting. Okay. Yeah. So wherever you are with your relationship to aging, know that you're not alone. And in fact, it was a response to aging, the difficulties, the loss around aging was one of three really, really essential messages that the young Prince Siddhartha got that inspired him to take his whole monastic path that led to his insights and his teaching. And so this is the teaching of what's called the four heavenly messengers, or the four divine messengers. And so it's understood that the Buddha was born not as the Buddha, this Prince Siddhartha, in very wealthy royal family landowners, and yeah, the wealthiest, highest class that you could be at that time. And his parents were really concerned that he not experience any suffering. So they did everything they could to keep him inside the castle walls and give him only positive experiences. So he had a lot of sensual pleasure of all kinds, and beauty, and festivities, and distractions, and just pure pleasure to whatever extent his parents could provide that, until he was 29 and left the castle and went into the streets of the nearby town. And this is where he encountered the four heavenly messengers. And this was an elderly person, an ill person, and a corpse. Those are the first three. And these three shocked the Buddha. He hadn't been exposed to any of these truths about life. He hadn't been aware that this was the ultimate destiny of all living things, including human beings. That, even in the best of luck, what we'll encounter is sickness, old age, and death. So these were the first of the three heavenly messengers shocking the Buddha out of his denial that had been created by his parents or culture or community. And then the fourth heavenly messenger was a wandering ascetic, someone who had seen the limits of what lay life can offer and had devoted their life to seeking spiritual answers, to seeking a different way. And the Buddha was so stunned and devastated by the notion of aging, of illness, and of death, that he decided to take the path of the fourth heavenly messenger, the ascetic. And he renounced all of his privileges as a prince and became a wandering ascetic himself for 7 years. What he found as a wandering ascetic was he had some great insights and learning and community, but also the ways of ascetics at that time, and still to this day in some lineages of Hinduism, and other places too, was that there was a lot of lack of care for the body, starvation, and various forms of intentional invoking of pain to the body, which he didn't feel he did, participated in, and didn't see creating any breakthrough or insight. So he ultimately renounced that as well. Took some rice pudding from a woman, which was shocking to his ascetic friends, sat underneath a tree and vowed not to get up until he had some insight that allowed him to move himself and lead others towards lessening of suffering. And he did have those insights. The insights we practice now, we were practicing just earlier tonight. Come back to the present moment, step out of the trance of the thinking mind. And once you're here in this present moment, tend to it with care. Practice kindness and compassion, appreciation. Practice integrity, generosity, and patience. And these beautiful energies of clarity and clear seeing into the present moment, met with kindness, allows for wisdom. And for that energy of love, which is the great container for well-being. But it was that seeing of this inevitability of aging, illness, and death that moved him into this path. And in essence, seeing aging, illness, and death was his first encounter with suffering. because it's just true, the truth of these things. And then the question of how to respond more skillfully so that we can have more ease. So the story is wonderful in its own right. It's a really interesting story that's inspired faith and curiosity and interest for millennia. It's also a wonderful metaphor for us. You know, we may not be living in castles or identify as royalty, but we too can be distracted by pleasures, imagining that all that's here for us is pursuing sensual ease or avoiding discomfort to the best of our ability. Using the clinging to the good and the resentment of, or the pushing away of, or the reactivity to anything we don't like as our sort of tools for managing life. Setting aside qualities like kindness and patience and truthfulness and generosity, and not knowing, and just simply not knowing that cultivating those qualities actually brings peace, and instead believing that just having these short-term energies, movement of our hearts towards what's pleasurable and away from what we don't like is sort of the end. And it isn't. We can have this insight as we look at aging, the inevitability of aging, the truth of impermanence, coming out of minimizing and denial, just like young Prince Siddhartha did, and coming into, this is real, so what matters? Life is short, so what are my values? Allowing our awareness to galvanize our practices, our choices, like the Buddha did. Most people live with a energy that's in Pali is called pamada, heedlessness, just not knowing. It's managing. And we need a lot of compassion for ourselves and each other around that. But when we come and have the willingness, like all of us do, because here we are, to look squarely at the truth of aging and illness and death, it can activate an energy which in Pali is called samvega, a sense of urgency. An inner sort of drive to find out, okay, what does one do? Here we are in these short-term human bodies. What do we do so that we can have ease and clarity and hopefully be of service while we're here? And all of us, to some extent, have seen that, because we're here, we've seen that there's an incredible value in being present for our lives and responding with as much compassion and appreciation and equanimity as we have to offer. So aging is this natural occurrence. We can have it galvanize us. At the end of the talk tonight, if I have time, I want to sing you a song that I wrote for James Barris on the occasion of his 60th birthday. And then 15 years later, this past June, when I turned 60, James sang it for me. And we just are on this, you know, that song Circle Game? And the seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. It's just the truth of how things are. So as the Buddha went along after his awakening, teaching about his insights, about the necessity of inhabiting the present moment, noticing the truths of this world, and then responding with kindness, one of the teachings that he gave to help people make peace with the realities was the teaching that's called the Three Marks of Existence. And those in Pali are dukkha, anicca, and anatta. Typically translated as dukkha is very often translated as suffering, the truth of suffering. I think a more, for me, a more accurate translation would be unsatisfactoriness, because so, you know, suffering, depending on how you understand the word, isn't constant for everybody. But what is constant is that life is unsatisfactory at times. It won't stay. Whatever we've landed on that's bringing some comfort or care isn't permanent. Which is the second one, anicca, which is the truth of impermanence. Everything changes. And then anatta, that there's no separate self, that we all, Thich Nhat Hanh calls it interbeing. We're all a result of our causes and conditions. We impact each other, we affect each other, we breathe in from the trees and breathe out to the trees. We're much more one cloth than we are separate self. So this is a whole, could be a whole like 8-week class on itself, the three marks of existence, but I'm bringing it in right now to say that it's helpful in terms of understanding aging, and a nice way to understand these three, dukkha, anicca, and anatta, a simple phrase. Unsatisfactoriness, impermanence, and no separate self is shit happens, everything changes, don't take it personally. So shit happens. I'm sorry for the swearing. It's not something I normally do, but it's a helpful, as I said, a helpful phrase. To kind of get how it can support us in making more peace with aging, having less suffering around aging. Shit happens, where the inherent unsatisfactoriness of life, no matter how hard we try or how lucky we might be, there will always be something or somebody that causes us stress and suffering. If we can make peace with that, the making peace itself with the unsatisfactoriness of life makes life easier. So instead of buying into the conditioning that many of us have in mainstream culture around the fairy tales and the happy ever after endings, and if something's going wrong, then I've done something wrong, or if something's difficult, that it shouldn't be happening. That's kind of our conditioning, and that's not the truth about life. The truth about life is that shit happens. It's a roller coaster here. And if we can train our minds to just get with that, like be cool with that. Like, it's just how it is. And we're not in resistance to it. It's the resistance that creates so much of the suffering. As often said in Buddhist circles, pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. Today I was driving my wife Diane to the San Francisco airport and from Berkeley, and there was an accident before the bridge. And so it took us an hour to get from the Ashby exit to the toll plaza. She did not miss her plane though. She got on her plane. But so we had an hour there, because I, was remembering this truth, like, this is how it is here. Shit happens. This is a really minor one, really minor, an hour to get from, a half a mile or a mile on the freeway. So my choice was to stay calm, to talk to my partner, to just stay present and breathe. Or, I've had times in the past where something like that would just, I would be a wreck around it. And so what's the difference? Being mad at life for shit happening, or not. So making peace with the truth of unsatisfactoriness helps. And this is, so my point is that it also helps with aging. The second of the three marks of existence, everything changes. Impermanence is a fact of life. And change is the only constant. And so if you're at a place in your life where you're looking in the mirror, and starting to see a face that's unrecognizable as it ages, or your parents are, depending on your age, really making peace, everything changes, including our bodies. It doesn't mean we have to like it. And then really helpful is also the third one about no self, or not taking it personally. A lot of suffering stems from our taking what happens personally. We identify with our bodies. We think, I am my body. And I should have some way to stop aging. I should be the one who figures out how to make aging stop because I am my body. Well, no, you're not your body. Your body was given to you by nature. It's made of the same elements as earth. And it's subject to the same laws of impermanence as everything else here. So holding our bodies with incredible tenderness and not taking aging personally. There's this very poignant story of another very elderly woman, late 90s, on her deathbed. This comes from the Frank Ostaszewski, who does work with the hospice movement, wonderful teacher. Very elderly woman on her deathbed, and what she was very miserable, and what she was saying over and over again was, why me? Why me? Why me? Because it's not about you. It's about the laws of nature. Learning to not take aging personally. So all three of these things, shit happens, everything changes, don't take it personally. As we teach the mind these marks of existence, then this great thing happens, which is the mind lets go. It stops resisting. And it's in the resisting that so much of the pain of aging goes on. Another friend recently said, she's probably in her mid 60s, but so not that old yet, but had a illness for quite a while. And she shared that one of the things that happened to her during this illness that kept her bedridden for months was that when she stopped reading, she learned to appreciate the blessing of rest, which is something she had never learned before. If we can drop our stories and just come into the present moment, we can see what's here. And sometimes what's here isn't, you know, is just sweet. Learning to appreciate the blessing of rest. So just one more point to make. If we're not responding to aging with reactivity, then what are the other ways we humans have to respond to aging? Because all of these things that the Buddha is teaching about, he didn't invent them. They're here already. He just saw them and named them. Oh, look, these energies, these practices, they lead to more suffering. When we're reactive, when we're resistant, when we're resentful, when we're clinging to old views of self, we increase our suffering. Were these other energies already part of the human experience? Gratitude, compassion, friendliness. When we lean into those energies, check it out, we feel better. There's more peace. So these energies gathered into different lists in Buddhism, the four big love energies are the Brahma Viharas. Brahma Vihara is Pali for a divine abode, sacred energies for us humans that we have naturally, but we can cultivate, we can widen and deepen, and we can cultivate them specifically around the issue of aging. So if you're having that issue of, like, you know, the pain, the physical body pain that comes, can often come with aging, or, you know, even, you know, we begin, so as we get older, our minds can be, have a hard time with short-term memory, have a hard time remembering things, just kind of the standard aging stuff that's so hard for most of us. If we meet that kind of loss or pain or challenge with the energy of compassion, which is warmth and care in the face of pain, it's non-abandoning, it has that same energy that mindfulness does, where it stays with, but then it brings in care, doesn't bring in negative judgment. Compassion brings in care. Or say you're aging, or you're, somebody in your family is aging, or your dog is aging, and things are going fine today. There's this wonderful energy of loving kindness to bring, friendliness, presence, and care without pain. Or even, let's say, something wonderful is happening. You know, you're 78 years old, 92 years old, 106 years old, and you're sitting on the beach watching a sunset. Or just sitting at home enjoying your crocheting. Those are moments to bring in appreciation, the great replenisher. Even memories, intentionally invoking memories of a joyful or happy time, very skillful. Not to deny or minimize, but just to replenish. So these are, and then equanimity, which is that energy of balance. So I've mentioned loving kindness or friendliness, compassion, appreciation. And then the fourth of the four Brahma Viharas is equanimity, which is the balance of just understanding everything comes and goes, including you and me and our bodies. And really, that's okay. So much of our fear and contraction around aging and illness and death has to do with this contracted sense of self. And really being part of this great fabric of ever-changing nature. Once we teach our minds to really see that that's what's going on here, it's an honor to be one of the threads in this fabric here for a while. And we can find balance or steadfastness in the midst of things as they are. Things are as they are. This is a quote from Lewis Richmond, who wrote a book called Aging a Spiritual Practice. He said, "Our increasingly fragile and infirm bodies and minds are sacred and worthy of the greatest kindness and care. To respect our aging at every stage is the greatest kindness we can offer to ourselves and those we love." So in a moment, I'll lead us in a brief Brahma Vihara practice for our bodies and our aging. But before I do, I just want to invite us all to consider bringing in a practice this coming week, if you like, where offering our own aging bodies, those of us who have really noticed our own aging, or the aging bodies of our loved ones, or even just aging bodies that you may see when you step out into the world or the neighborhood, really intentionally offering loving kindness to aging. So you might say something like, "May I accept the inevitability of aging?" And if you're offering these loving kindness wishes to another, you say, "May I hold you in kindness." Whisper it to every elderly person you see. "May I hold you in kindness," knowing that, you know, this person is simply preceding us on the path we all travel. Or if you are in the midst of encountering your own aging right now, "May I hold myself in kindness." "May I accept the inevitability of aging." "May I hold myself in kindness," or "May I hold this body, this sweet, loyal body. May I hold this body in kindness." So I'll mention that again, if I remember, I'll mention that again before we part ways in 15 minutes. But let me take a moment now to lead us in a short reflective practice, just offering all four of the Brahma Viharas. So if you like, you can close your eyes. Just feeling your body here in the present moment, communicating the way it always does with sensation. If you notice any tightness or holding, You can see if you can offer a little bit of releasing or letting go. So just sending these wishes or phrases into this body you inhabit, no matter where you are in the process of aging. Oh, may I hold this body with kindness. And may I hold my body's aging with kindness. And tuning in a little bit to the sense of pain, physical pain or loss, emotional pain that very often comes with aging. Just bringing some compassion to that. May I offer care to the experience of aging. May I be present and caring with pain. And now see if you can tune in to a sense of appreciation for your body, for all that it has done and continues to do to serve you. The beating heart, the breathing lungs. We're not asking for perfection. Perfection is a myth. We're just bringing appreciation to what is. Sending a thank you to your body. This miraculous creature made by nature. Thank you. I appreciate you. And finally, equanimity. Yeah. May I know balance. Mm. clarity about the inevitability of change. Make peace with change. Make peace with the changes in my body. May I have balance. All right, thank you. So I want to close. I think I do have enough time. So I would like to close with this song I told you about that I wrote for James. So I also, if I can quickly figure it out, would like to share the words with you so that if you want to, you can sing along. Unfortunately, with Zoom, you have to sing along from behind your muted microphone because otherwise, whoops. There it is. Otherwise, we get chaos. Okay, great, it worked.
I keep getting more gray hair and the lines around my eyes surprise me. Don't have the energy I once had. A quiet night at home satisfies me. This good old body is slowing down and having more pain. This good old mind is still having fun running its games. These changes could scare me, but why fear the truth? Each day is a miracle, this moment fresh and new. This body reminds me that all things must change. Love and let go, love and let go is the body's refrain. I'm getting older, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right. Yeah, getting older, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right. You're getting older. Little children, they change more quickly than I. Right now she is 5 years old, soon she'll be 6, 10, 12, 25. And the daisy chain goes round and round, and the petals fall on sacred ground. I'm getting older, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right. said it's all right. You're getting older too. It's all right, it's all right, it's all right. It's just something bodies do. The children and the day I'll die, this body and its changing tides, stay away. So I'll know, be here now for the show. Keep on loving, keep on letting go. I'm getting older. It's alright, it's alright, it's alright. Yeah, getting older. It's alright, it's alright, it's alright. You're getting older too. It's alright, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright. It's something, oh, everybody do.
Okay. Ah, so thank you for your kind listening. We have just like, if somebody has, if like 5 minutes left, if somebody has a question or a comment, please feel welcome. And if not, it's completely okay, but.
I really liked your talk, Eve. This is Wendy.
Thank you, Wendy.
And the one thought I had is like how rare it is to hear anything positive. I mean, even just kindness about aging. Like it seems like it's so loathed in our society, you know, and so pushed to so much aversion. That even have a, you know, talk like approaching it gently and compassionately feels like, wow, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very poignant. Thank you, Wendy, and true. It's so, what's so wonderful about mindfulness practice is that it invites us to return to our direct experience rather than buying into the conditioning around us. And very often, if we just tune into what's happening right now, we'll find that we're doing fine. We're doing fine. The life force is as strong at 90 as it is at 20 in terms of just the sense of being a living being. The miracle of that. And then there's the benefits of aging, you know, that I mentioned briefly at the beginning of the wisdom, the equanimity, the sense of experience, the peace that's possible that wasn't possible when we were 20. Yeah, there's many. And so how do we change the narrative? By proudly being happy elders. And how do we proudly be happy elders? Well, that's why we're here. We're here to learn these practices that allow us to have that kind of inner peace. And then we bring it out and we encounter young people and we say, don't be afraid. This is how it is and it's going to be all right. Thanks, Wendy. I see two more hands. I want to see if I can quickly grab you. Zach and then Mathea.
Thanks, Eve. I really appreciate it. I tend to think of impermanence as kind of a like ebb and flow between things are difficult, things get better, things are difficult. And you know, as someone who deals with progressive illness myself, I've sort of had the question of you know, things are always getting harder, you know, they don't go back to being better, which I think is kind of similar to aging, that in some way, you know, trying to find yourself younger. I really sort of appreciated this perspective on that.
Great. I'm so glad. And thank you. Thank you, Zach. Yeah. Okay, Mathea.
Hi. First of all, I love that song and you sing it so well. It's beautiful. Thank you. Great job. I wanted to share first off that I just adore the senior citizens that I see in my practice, just for primary care. The wisdom, the things they've taught me, I'm always in awe when they come in and say, you know, I've lived a full life. I am satisfied. When the Lord's ready for me, I am ready. I'm jealous. Yeah. I just turned 50. I'm like, I'm scared. I want to be as confident as that. And just the, you know, just life experience and wisdom, and it gives them a lot of peace. But I wanted to ask, sometimes I find that I have to kind of urge the ones that haven't kept up the walking and keeping the hip and shoulder girdle up. And I want a feminine version, because I can only remember, who was it? Was in his 90s weightlifting, Jack LaLanne.
Uh-huh.
There's got to be like a Jane Fonda. Who's someone like that? If anyone knows, maybe they can put it in the chat, that I can use to remind them, you're not just getting older. I don't believe that you have to let things go and not expect that you can get fit after 70 or whatever, mm-hmm. you know?
Great.
And I also find that I feel, as far as those good days, bad days, I'm a lot more ready and able to roll with it, as you say, when I've slept well. So if anyone also has any advice on quieting the mind at night, I know about progressive muscle relaxation and trying to be mindful. Sometimes it just isn't enough. Mm-hmm. Busy practice and not enough sunshine and time to get out there is part of that.
Yeah. But, so people can't do this isn't my Zoom room, so I don't know how to change this, but Lainey wanted to let you know that Ruth Bader Ginsburg lifted weights. And regarding awesome. That second question about sleep, that's a bigger question that we don't have time for. We're actually at 9:01, but feel free to email me, Mathea. My email is up at the top there of the chat. And I just want to respond to Lainey. What are the three things? Shit happens, change is inevitable, and don't take it personally. All right, let us dedicate the merit really quickly. May the merit of our practice be for the benefit of all beings everywhere, knowing that we too are a part of all beings. May all beings everywhere be free. All right, feel welcome to unmute. Say goodnight. Blessings. Hope to see you. Oh, so I don't know if you all are meeting next week. I guess James will send out a letter to let you know. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving. But I'll be back with you the following week. All right. Much love and blessings. Have a peaceful Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night. Thank you, everyone. Linda.
Thank you.
That was very sweet, Eve. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for the wonderful story.
I attended tonight.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Night.
Good night. Nice to see you, Susan. Bye.
Bye.